Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Transformation Extender Command Line Utilities, Part 2. Today's presenter is Timothy Rabbit. Tim is a member of the WebSphere Transformation Extender L2 support team and has been supporting the product for over 7 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Tim. You may begin.
Thank you, David. And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody on the line, depending on where you are in the world. And I want to thank you for joining this presentation, which is part two of the WTX utility commands. If we could move on to slide two. Today's agenda, I want to cover the utility commands that are available with the WebSphere Transformation Extender product, and if I'll be using WTX primarily as a abbreviation from this point forward. I want to discuss why we're going to use them, what they can do for you, how you need to configure your environment to start using them, discuss the type of commands, and then if we do have some questions and answers, as David had mentioned at the beginning, we'll get to those as well. On to slide three. So why would you want to use them? Well, they can automate the processing of your WTX environment, including compiling, analyzing, and converting large volumes of maps, trees, and systems via batch scripts. And in particular, it allows you to use WTX commands without the need for a X-Windows environment or a Windows GUI. You can do these all from the command line. So if we move on to slide four. What can these particular commands do for you? In more detail, they can analyze type trees, import and export type trees, map source files and systems. You can convert type tree properties. You can compile maps. You can generate a map report. You can deploy systems. You can use XML files to generate a map. You can edit the resource registry. And you can manipulate launcher aspects of our product, including stopping, starting, administrating, and management console activities. On to slide five. So in order to use these utilities, there's a few things you're going to have to do to configure your environment. First of all, in Windows, you're going to have to make sure you've set the path environment variable properly. And as you see here, I showed an example of setting the path to the what is the default WTX 8.4 installation path. So you set it to SQL and IBM WebSphere Transformation Extender 8.4 and make sure you include the remainder of your existing path so as not to mess up your existing environment. In the Unix environments, you're going to first want to go and run the setup command that comes with our product. So that would be a dot space and then the path to where WTX 8.4 is installed, /setup. That'll set your path and then the respective LD library path or libpath, depending on your Unix environment. So on to slide six. And here's examples of what your libpath should be set to if you're in an AIX environment, or if you're not using AIX, the LD library path environment variable will be set. That's what the result of the setup command would end up doing for you. On to slide seven. Additional information about configuring your environment, especially if you're going to be using this these features in a batch scripting environment, there are success failure environment variables that are set that you may want to use in your scripting process. With Windows, it's an error level variable, and in Unix, it's the status environment variable. Zero is going to indicate success, and one will indicate a failure. So you can use these as additional debugging purposes with any scripts that you write within your environment. Slide eight, please. So what kinds of utility commands are there? At a high level, there's Type Designer, Map Designer, Integration Flow Designer, XML, Resource Registry, Launcher, and Map Tuning types of utilities. Today we're going to focus on XML, Resource Registry, and Launcher utilities. The other topics, as noted with the superscripts 1, 2, and 3, have either already been covered or will be covered tomorrow. So if you want to join us tomorrow for an additional presentation, I'll be discussing some more of the launcher-based command line utilities that we offer with our product. So on to slide 9. So the first utility I'd like to talk about today is an XML utility. And that utility is DTX any to XML. And its purpose is to produce a map that can transform any input data into XML output. And as you can see here, I've specified the syntax. And as we go along in this presentation, I'm not going to go into great detail on the syntax. I'd rather show you examples on how to use the command as I explain what all the syntactical options are. So I primarily gave you the syntax here for reference purposes. So if we can move on to slide 10. Some more details about the DTX any to XML utility. It's a utility that will perform the following tasks during its execution. It's going to export the input type tree as an XML schema, because you're going to use a type tree as part of the input process. It's going to create an XML type tree from an XML schema for an output card. And it's going to actually create a map source file for you, two maps. The first one is going to have the name that you specified as part of the command line. And the second map has the same name as the first map, but it's going to put a underscore R at the end of the file of the map name so that you can know the difference between the two. And it creates one map that can transform any input data into XML output, and that second map with the underscore R nomenclature that can transform the XML that your first map produced into output data in a format described by the type tree you have specified. On to slide 11. Just a note here, you use the second map that has the underscore R only when the type tree that you specified from that first parameter of the DTX any to XML utility was imported from a COBOL copybook. On to slide 12. In this slide, I want to give you a quick example of how to use this utility. So you can, if you have WTX 8.4 installed and you did a custom install of our product, of the Design Studio, in the examples general directory, there's going to be a states folder that has an example you can use here. And the syntax for this particular example is DTX any to XML. You're specifying the tree that you want to use, followed by the type that you're going to want to utilize to generate the tree and all, and then you're going to specify a log file. So in this case, this utility is going to use that states MTT type tree that you had. It's going to use the data input United States type to generate a new XML schema. And it's also going to generate a type tree with a name using the type tree name plus that selected type name that you're focusing on. So in this case, you're going to get a states underscore United States schema and a states underscore United States type tree. It's going to generate a new map source file named XML underscore map, because again, that was part of the syntax that you used with the example. In the first map that gets generated, which is XML underscore map, that first input card is going to reference the original type tree that you specified through the syntax, which is states.mtt, and an input file of sts.txt. Again, all part of the input syntax, excuse me, not input, but the DTX to any XML command line. It's going to generate an output card with the newly created XML tree that was generated with this command. That's going to be the states underscore United States dot MTT. On to slide 13. And then that second map, remember that's going to have the underscore R appended to it. So for that map, it's going to generate a card using that newly generated XML type tree. And here you see what they are. It's the states underscore United States and an output file of XML output.xml. The output card is going to, again, like the other map, reference that original type tree you specified with the utility. And just, again, a reminder of when you need to use this second map. Only when the utility command was utilized when importing a COBOL copybook. And another note, this log file, the XML log, is created only when an error occurs. Otherwise, you will not see that example. This utility is not used all that much, but I figured since it is a utility that does exist, I would at least try to highlight how to use this utility within the product. On to slide 14. Resource Register Utility. As you're probably well aware, we have a resource registry GUI. But I know it can be slow to use and it sometimes can be a little cumbersome. So in case you don't have a GUI available, especially in the Unix environment, we have a resource registry script you can use. And it's going to allow you to modify a resource value in the MRN and MRC files. The two ways to use this, it depends on the environment you're in. If you're in a Unix environment, it's resource-registry-helper.sh. And in Windows, it's the same, but with a .bat extension. And just remember, in Unix world, everything is case-sensitive. So be aware of the capital R there and the capital H. At the bottom of this slide, I've provided the syntax. And in the up-and-coming slides, we'll go over examples on what this syntax is actually used for and some examples. So if we can move on to slide 15. So, with this utility, you have to specify an MRN or an MRC. So that you've got to specify the location for that file. The dash A option is going to indicate an action is to follow. And an action is going to be either a modify, add, or remove option. So, if you're going to use an action option within the resource registry helper command, like I said, you can modify, add, or remove. So if you wanted to add the resource registry, the syntax would be to use -add along with the minus R option for a MRC location, a dash F for the server name that you're going to be adding. On to slide 16. To modify an existing resource registry value you already have. Again, you would use that original dash A option for action, and the action in this case is going to be dash modify. So what are you going to modify? You're going to specify the resource name with the minus R value. With minus S, you're going to specify the server to modify. Dash V, you're going to specify the value you're modifying. And if you want the value encrypted, you specify the minus E value. And remember, resource registry resources or server names must be present to be modified. Otherwise, you're going to get an error if the value does not already exist within the MRN. On to slide 17. If you wanted to remove a resource registry entry, again, it would be the minus A telling it that an action follows, and in this case, the action is dash remove. You're going to tell it what the resource name is to remove, as well as the server you want it to act upon. And again, it's just similar to modify. If you want to remove it, the entry must exist. Otherwise, there's nothing to remove. On to slide 18. Okay, so I talked about the syntax, so how do you actually use this command? Here I've provided some examples. So in the first example, I'm going to be using, these are Windows examples here, so that's why you do not see a .bat here. In the Unix world, you have to make sure you do specify the -sh. So in the first example, I want to modify the myregistry.mrn file. I'm giving it an action to add, and I want to add the resource of street. Second example, since I have added the resource entry of street, I want to give it a value. So in this case, I'm doing a modify. I'm telling it to modify street, and I'm giving it a value of 123 Main Street. Third example, this time I want to add a server. I may have had one server, two servers, who knows how many servers already defined within the resource registry, but I want to add another one. So in this case, I want to add a server called My Linux Server, and that third example shows you the add and the minus S option to do so. The fourth option, I wanted to modify the option for that new server I had just added, and I want to add a value. So since the street MRN value had already existed, I added the new server in the previous example, I want to now put a value to it. And with the minus A, minus R, minus S option, along with minus V, I'm going to modify that value to be 829 Transformation Avenue. And then the last example here is an example to remove an entry. Let's say I don't need the resource registry value of street anymore. I'm going to tell it there's an action coming, that action is going to be removed, and then the value of street is going to be removed because I specified it with the dash R option. On to slide 19. Okay. The remainder of this presentation is going to deal with the launcher utility commands. And these are all brand new functionality added with the release of 8.4. And what I'm going to concentrate on this morning is the launcher admin utility. It's going to consume the rest of the topic of today's discussion. For the management console and launcher discussion, please join us tomorrow at the same time, and I will continue with the rest of the management console and launcher aspects of this presentation. So, again, these three utilities were added and enhanced with the release of 8.4 that allows you to use them all from the command line, especially for the launcher administration utility and management console utility. If we can move on to slide 20. So what does the launcher administration utility do? It allows you to configure the launcher servers and the associated launchers that are created by the launcher service. You can use this launcher admin command to configure deployment directories, users, and user access rights, listening ports, and launcher service properties. The two commands depends on what environment you're in. For Windows, launcheradmin.bat, and for Unix, launcheradmin.sh, with the respective options. When you issue the launcher admin command with options, it's going to invoke the command line utility version of this of launcher admin. If you just specify launcheradmin.bat or launcheradmin.sh, it's going to invoke the version that you're accustomed to seeing, which is the GUI-based version. And what does the launcher admin utility interact with? It's going to update and or read the launcheradmin.bin file that is within your installation. On to slide 21. The next few slides are going to be just overall syntax. So instead of going into great detail as to what the syntax is on these slides, again, it is for reference, and I'd rather go into more detail covering the individual options that exist within the launcher admin screen. Excuse me, utility. So on to slide 22. Again, more syntax. On to slide 23. Additional syntax. And one thing I do want to bring to your attention, for the Unix and ZOS USS platforms, those require double quotes for options when a semicolon is part of the command line syntax. If you don't use double quotes, you're going to start getting command not found errors or command options invalid, things along those lines. So please be aware of Unix and ZOS. If there's a semicolon, use double quotes as part of the options syntax. And I'll show you examples of when it's appropriate to use that. On to slide 24. Okay. So starting with the Launcher Admin utility. These options, just like the GUI version, are divided into a help, a display, and a modification category. And they all access and update information that is, again, equivalent to the GUI. So as you can see here, if there's a help option, that's going to be dash help. There's a display aspect of this, that's going to be your dash list, dash export, and dash status commands. And then modification aspect of the command is all the other launcher admin options that are within the GUI. And I just displayed on the right-hand side what the GUI version of launcher admin is. And through the remainder of this presentation, I'll be showing similar screenshots so that you can see what the command line option looks like compared to what you are typically used to accessing within the GUI. So on to slide 24. Okay, let's start with the launcher admin dot list utility. This is going to display all or portions of the contents of the launcher admin.bin file. The launcher admin.bin file is not a file you can edit by hand, so please do not use any editors again with this. You must use the utility commands or the launcher admin GUI. So the syntax of the list command, it would be launcher admin dash list, and then whether or not what you want to display, whether you want to display things from the general, the access, the deployers, the advanced options, or actually all of the information contained with the launcher admin. If you do not specify a dash list sub option, all will become the default. On to slide 26. So here I want to show you an example of if you use the launcher admin dash list general command. If you look on the right, you see what the general tab of the GUI looks like. And you can see here you've got startup options, you've got connection options and configuration options within the GUI. On the left, it's an example of where I did issue the dash list general command. And as you can see, the information matches up with what was in the GUI. So I just primarily showed you this to show you how the two match up so that you can see the correlation between what the GUI and the command line utility display. And you do see that it is an accurate representation. On to slide 27. So if you wanted to work with the access permissions, or at least see the access permissions, dash list, launcher admin, space, dash list, access. It's going to show you things from the GUI version of the access tab. Again, I showed you an example of what the GUI looks like for user properties within the launcher admin utility. It shows a user of admin with grant permissions for stopping and starting, pausing and resume, and monitor. And if you look on the left, when I did issue that command, you do see the admin user specified there, as well as the access rights all set to grant. You can also see I had a user of mon user, and you can see it displayed the appropriate permissions that I had assigned to that user as well. On to slide 28. Within the Launcher Admin utility, there's the Deployers tab. So if you do Launcher Admin space dash list Deployers, it's going to list what your current deployment directories are, same as you see in the GUI. Slide 29. The Deployers also displays additional information that is within the Properties and Files tab of Deployers. And again, slide 29 is just showing you that information from the GUI, the command line displays the same stuff as you see, so you can see the correlation, you can see the name, the resource manager configuration file location, whether it's automatic startup, and so on and so forth. That correlation is there. On to slide 30. In the Launcher Admin utility, you also have the Advanced tab. This is where you can set some property values in the JVM environment typically. And again, if you do the minus list with advanced, it's going to list out what you have set within that advanced tab of the GUI. On to slide 31. The last tab within the Launcher Admin utility is the Options tab. Again, if you tell it to list out the options, you're going to see that it will list out the same things as you see in the GUI. For instance, the Enable Configuration box is not checked, so when you list it out in the command line, it's going to show false. And even though it is not enabled, it still reports back to server and client ports. On to slide 32. Okay, so we've listed out what is in the Launcher Admin utility. So now you want to go and modify it. So what are you going to do? How do you do this? So let's try in going over how to modify things within the general tab. And this is going to control how systems start and run, the ports and the configuration file that are used by the launcher service, and the display of the launcher service status. So you've got the startup definition. And options here are going to be dash manual or dash auto. Manual is do not start the automatically start the launcher at service system when the launcher starts, and auto means start all your NSLs and systems. The dash single or dash separate, it's a matter of whether you want all your MSLs combined into one launcher process or dash separate, so that you'll have a separate launcher process for each and every MSL. Again, it's got the same correlation that the general tab GUI has, as you can see there. On to slide 33. Okay, now moving on to the connection section of the GUI, still under the general tab. If you want to modify a listening port, you're going to specify the dash L port option with the new port you want to use. If you want to change the port range, you can look at the dash P range option. You can specify a start port and an end port. The key thing to remember about using the P range option here is that you have to specify a minimum of 3 ports. So a start port of 7,000 and an end port of 7,001 is not good. You have to at least have 3. So if you wanted, you could do 7,000:7,002, and that would give you your 3 ports that are required. On to slide 34. In the configuration section, there's a dash MRC option to specify the resource config MRC file that you want to use. And please note, please use a full path and file name. The dash INI option gives you our configuration file that you want to use. By default, it's called dtx.ini, but you can override that and give it any name you need it to be. On to slide 34. So, I've mentioned a bunch of these options, but how do you actually use them? So, in this case, I want to go and change the launcher to be a manual startup, and I want to change the listening port as the port range and the initialization file that we use. So, in a Windows environment, I would type launcheradmin.bat. I'm going to tell it dash manual because I want it to be a manual startup. I'm going to specify the listening port. Default is 5015, so I'm going to change it to 5075. The default port range is 7,000 to 8,000. Well, in this case, with the P range option, I'm going to change it to be 8,000 to 8,002. And I'm going to change the default INI file from dtx.ini to be one with a specific path name, and I want to actually call it myini.txt. On to slide 36. So within that was the general tab. So if you want to modify something within the access tab, what do we have to do here? Here you have the ability to add, delete, or edit the permissions of the launcher users. So if you wanted to add or edit a user, you're going to use the dash add user syntax, specifying a user name, a login name and a password. Then the actual access permissions, and you can use one or all of those, and you're going to have to either grant or revoke the permissions. For your, the access permissions by default are set to revoke. So if you're going to be adding a user or modifying, editing a user, you would make sure you need to grant them permission. And we'll go through an example shortly. If you notice here, there are semicolons in that syntax. So again, as a reminder, with add user, we're going to have to use double quotes on non-Windows platforms. On to slide 37. You can delete a user with a -del user syntax. And then what I want to do now is go on to an example. So if I wanted to add a user named WTXmon with a login name of WTXmon, a password of monitor, and I wanted to grant monitor permission only. So in the Windows world, launcher admin.bat with the -add user syntax. What is my username? Well, I just said it's going to be WTXmon. Login name, WTXmon. I want to give it the password of monitor. And then I'm giving it access. I want to grant monitor. So that's GM. On the Unix side, again, same syntax. But if you recall, I said when semicolons exist within the command line syntax, you have to include the option within double quotes. So if you notice here, it really is the same syntax. Primarily, the only difference is it's launcheradmin.sh, and I made sure I included double quotes around the option. If you don't include the quotes, the way the Unix environments work, it's going to say, oh, I've got a whole new command coming, and it's going to mess up the overall syntax and the execution of that command. So let's say, in the second example, I want to edit the user WTXmon. I had originally given that user grant monitor access. Well, now I want to grant that stopping and starting of the launcher as well as a pause resume. So to grant that access, it's the launcheradmin.sh or bat command again. I'm going to add the, it's, even though I'm editing, it's still the add user command. And one of my, it's a user I'm going to be editing is the WTXmon. And what am I doing? I'm changing access permissions, I'm granting the stop and start permission, and I'm granting the pause resume capability within the launcher. In the last example, I added that user at the very top of the slide, but now I said, I don't need that user anymore, so let's delete him. It's fairly simple syntax in this case, launcheradmin.bat, space del user WTXmon, and it will delete that particular user from the access portion of the launcher admin service. On to slide 38. So the modifications tab associated with the deployment directories for the launcher admin utility allows you to do three things. You can add deployment directories through the add dir option, remove a deployment directory with the rd dir, or edit deployment directories with the ed dir option. The edit deployment directories option allows you to add systems to the list of systems, configured directories, and associated files. It's only available when the separate launcher processes option is selected. On to slide 39. So how do you add a deployment directory to a launcher admin utility? Again, it's the add dir or remove dir depending on what you want to do. So if you're going to add a directory, it's minus add dir, the full path name of the directory. Or if you're going to remove one, it's dash r dir, and then specifying the deployment directory. And again, I just want the left-hand side just shows you the equivalent of the GUI. So if I had added one and then went back into Launcher Admin Utility, you would see it displayed after you had clicked the add button. Or if you actually wanted to remove this particular C colon IBM WTX underscore 84 systems directory, it's the equivalent of the remove button, but from the launcher admin command line, it's the dash r dir option. Slide 40. Editing of the deployment directories. the syntax starts getting a little bit more complex. So probably, you know, the best thing is to review this as well as our documentation. But again, these options for editing are only available when the separate launcher processes checkbox is enabled or you told it to use the dash separate command line option. The deployment directory is a directory where the separate launcher process is deployed to, and it applies to the following three syntax options of this command. You can add a system. You can configure that separate launcher's initialization file, its resource registry, resource management, and startup option. And at a high level, the syntax is you use the edir option with the deployment directory. Minus ASF is going to be the system you're adding. Dash PD is the properties associated with it. The dash PF is property files associated with it. And I'll show an example shortly that gives you more explicit details of what options you would specify and what they actually mean. If you needed to delete an existing system from within that separate launcher process overall configuration, it's the minus edir, deployment directory, and minus DSF, and then the system you're trying to delete. And to specify a system that is added to or deleted from a launcher process, it's the edir, deployment directory, minus sys with the system file name in the corresponding syntax. As I mentioned earlier, the syntax is not that straightforward for this command, so hopefully with some examples that I'll provide on the next few slides, we'll clear this up for you. So on to slide 41. So if you wanted to add a system to a separate launcher process and optionally configure the initialization file, resource registry, resource management, and startup option, you're going to want to supply a deployment directory, and that's where the system is located. You want to specify the MSL to add with the minus ASF option. So what I'm going to be doing in an example here for minus ASF, the system file I'm pointing to here in the equivalent GUI is a message manager MSL. The dash PD option, as you notice, there's the property directory section of the GUI. So that's going to allow you to modify those aspects, which are initialization file, resource manager, and resource config. And then with the property file option, the minus PF, you're going to get to manipulate the property file aspects that are within the GUI. On to slide 42. So with the PD option, there are more sub-options associated with it. And again, that is the property directory section of the deployment directories tab. Options are separated by semicolons. So remember, again, non-Windows environments, double quotes are going to be required. So you, with the INI sub-option, you can specify the INI file you want to use. With the RM option, whether you want it to be a local or global resource manager value. And then with the MRC value, where your MRC file is actually located. On slide 43, the property file options, which are denoted by the dash PF command line syntax, you've got options of name for the name of the system, a description of what that MSL is, your INI file with the INI option, RM for whether it's resource manager value of local or global, MRC, where your MRC file is located, and one last option of AF, yes for automatic startup, and no for manual startup. Again, correlating it back to what the GUI looks like on the right-hand side. Slide 44. Okay. Again, semicolons, when they're in use on non-Windows platforms, please surround it with double quotes. So this, like I said, the command is not all that easy to understand, so I wanted to provide an example on how to use this. So this first example, I'm going to add a system to the launcher environment. I want to define the INI file, the resource registry, and set it to be automatic startup. So how do I do that? Here I've provided two examples, one for Windows, one for Unix. I did this purposely to show you the difference in the syntax for when you need to include the double quotes, because it's, in my case, it is a non-Windows environment. So I'm going to edit my deployment directory options, and in this particular system, my deployment directory is specified by C: IBM WTX84 systems on Windows. The system I want to modify is messagemanager.msl. That's specified by the ASF option. My property directories, -pd, I'm going to override the INI value and specify it. I'm going to override the resource registry with the MRC. And then with my property files options, -pf, automatic startup, I've set it to yes. And then the Unix example is right below that, so this directory pathing is slightly different to reflect that environment. Again, same options, just want to show it to you with both platforms. On to slide 45. To delete a system from a separate launcher process, again, it's the -edir sub-option. You're going to specify where the deployment directory is, and then give it the system file you want to delete with the -dsf option. So if I, as an example, at the very bottom, launcheradmin.bat, -edir, because I'm editing an existing deployment directory. My deployment directory I've specified here of C: IBM WTX84 systems. In which particular system do I want to delete? It's launcher.msl, and I specify that through the -dsf option. Again, the GUI screenshots show you the correlation between the command line and what you're actually manipulating from the GUI. On to slide 46. Okay, so now if you want to specify a system that is added or deleted from a launcher process, and using, again, some more of these sub-options, I wanted to get into the -af option here in this case. So we're going to need to specify a deployment directory, and we all know where that is, the system to be modified with the -sys option, and then getting into the files tab within a particular deployment directory tab of the launcher admin. Here you're going to use -af. -af is going to refer to a fully qualified system name that's going to be added to the system that is now part of your -sys parameter. In another instance, you would use -df to delete a launcher process. So a quick example here at the bottom, launcheradmin.bat, -edit to deployment directories, edir, specify a deployment directory, which system are you working with? Well, you're working with messagemanager.msl. What are you adding adding the files tab is concerned? Well, I'm adding C: IBM WTX84 system to add MSL. That will add that particular system to your deployment directory's system of message manager and MSL. On to slide 47. The advanced option of the GUI and the command, and as well as the command line utility, allows you to add or remove system properties from the list of properties that are initialized during launcher service startup. So you can add properties and you can delete properties with the add prop and del prop sub options respectively. Again, semicolons are involved, so in non-Windows environments, use double quotes. You want to add a property, you use -add prop sub option, the property name and the associated value, and the deleting property name will just simply delete it. So as an example, if I wanted to add a property, launcheradmin.bat, -add prop, and then what's the property I want to add? In this case, java.rmi.server.hostname, colon, well, and then the value. In this case, wtxsvr.company.com. In the Unix world, again, I'm just showing it with double quotes around it. And if I wanted to delete, after I added that property, if I wanted to delete it, launcheradmin.bat, /delproc, and then the property you want to delete. And the screenshot at the right just shows you where that it actually is displayed and how you can add and remove it in the actual GUI. On to slide 48. The last tab within the Launcher Admin is Options. So in the Options, you can enable or disable a firewall, and you can specify cert firewall configuration related ports on the server and client side. So the syntax is -firewall, simply with either enable or disable, and then you can specify the server port or the client port associated with the firewall. And again, the right-hand side of the screen is showing you the same GUI options. So if we move on to slide 49, the last part of the Launcher Admin utility I want to deal with is import and exporting. This can come in handy because you can then use a text editor to change property commands, and then you can export them, edit the properties, and then re-import it without necessarily having to use all the separate commands that I just discussed. So what is the import and export sub-option going to do? It's going to use an XML file. When exporting, it's going to read the Launcher Admin file and create an XML file for you. And the import will just simply import that XML file for you and update the Launcher Admin.bin file. Remember, as I started out at the beginning of this section of the presentation, please do not actually try to edit the Launcher Admin.bin file. Use these utilities to do it for you. So, if you want to export the Launcher Admin .bin file, the syntax is launcheradmin.bat-export, and then you specify the XML file you want to give it. And what I did here at the bottom of the screen is I just gave a small snippet of what that exported XML file looks like. As you can see here, it's specifying what the listening port is, what my start and end ports are, whether or not I told the system to automatically start up, and in this case it's true, so it would automatically start up, whether I'm using separate launcher processes or not, in this case it's true. So again, just wanted to show this to you what that, a small portion of what that file does look like. And if we move on to slide 50, just some more information about what the, after you've exported it, what you can do with the importing. The import, you're going to specify the XML file you want to read back in so that it will therefore update the launcher admin.bin file. If the launcher admin file already exists, the existing properties are updated. If it does not exist, it will create a new launcher admin.bin file for you. There are several launcher admin properties that cannot be updated while the launcher is actually up and running, and I've listed those below. And on the very bottom of the screen is just a simple example of how to import back an launcher admin file you may have exported after making some changes. And it's just simply launcheradmin.bat or .sh-import and then the name of the XML file you want to import. On to slide 51. Again, just noting that when the launcher service is stopped, any options that you set, they are saved in the Launcher Admin file and used the next time the launcher service is restarted. If the launcher service is running, there are only certain options that you can manipulate at that point in time, because dynamically updating the settings of the launcher service is not going to work while it's running. So, on to slide 52. Just starting to summarize at this point. If you do encounter errors, or if you want to try to find out more information about our product, you can search APARs and Tech Notes in our Information Center. And this slide presents links on how to reach us as far as our documentation and support site are concerned. On to slide 53. If you do encounter an issue with our product, please open up a PMR and we'll be here to help you out. You can do that through the online utility. The support site and link is provided here, the one ending in prob sub.html. And a lot of times there's going to be some information we would like to gather from you prior to opening up a PMR. So that WTX must gather link highlights certain things that we would request from you depending on the scenario you're encountering. So you may want to review that so that you can have information ready for us as you open up the PMR. On to slide 54. So in final summary here, review the online web-based documentation we have for our utility commands, and there are associated examples. I had mentioned earlier that this is part two and there's a part three. Part one discussion, which I covered up, the type designer, map designer, and integration flow designer related commands. Please visit the WSTE site for a presentation that was offered last August. Again, the management console and launcher aspects of the utility commands. Please join me tomorrow for part three if you're available. And again, our support page website for additional information. And then on to slide 55. Additional resources within the overall WebSphere product line. And at this point, I would like to turn it back over to David.
Thank you, Tim, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Be sure your phone is not muted and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and clearly record your name. At this time, there are no questions.
Thank you. I also don't see any questions in the group chat. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Tim, for presenting today.
You're welcome.
This does conclude today's conference call. You may disconnect your phones at this time.